So this is our extra get it done session. Really happy to see those of you who could make it. I do hope this time also works for other people since it was requested. So let's just take a moment to get centered. And so maybe just exhaling. And I know that there's so much that needs to happen with curriculum. And so regardless of where you are, just tuning into this moment and the fact that you showed up and feeling into what really needs to get done today, what will most help you, what's the next step, what will bring you forward. Just getting clear for this first 45 minute chunk. What you'd like to focus on. And then from there, what's the quality of being, of presence that you'd like to bring to your work, to this 45 minute chunk? What's the energy you'd like to tap into to support you? As you move further with your curriculum. And if it feels aligned to you, taking a few deep breaths in and imagining that you are bringing in, breathing in this energy, this support. And beginning to feel it, to embody it, to whatever extent that's available to you. And from there, let's take a deep breath in together, and we'll exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in deeply. And whenever you're ready, allowing your eyes to flutter open. Julia, welcome. We have our sweet intimate group. So let's just get into it so we can get it done. So 45 minutes now. So we'll come back at 50 minutes into the hour. Now I'm available throughout this time. What we've done before that has worked is that if you have questions, put your documents in the chat with a Google link. And if you are raising your hand, but I'm with someone else and you want to work, I can let you know when I'm available. It can be really distracting to have the video, to have the sound on. So it's okay if you turn your sound off. Just please come back at 50. And then I can let you know in the chat when I'm available if your sound is off. Just make sure you're checking it occasionally. Any questions? All right, well, I'm here.
I have a question.
Yes.
But my question is about curriculum as opposed to our process for this session.
Yes, now exactly. Yeah, it's perfect.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So I love this curriculum checklist that was in our in the portal. And mm-hmm. There's two things that I'm fuzzy on from, I attended all the sessions, but I'm still fuzzy on. And one is, have you timed your curriculum? And I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit more about timing the curriculum, and then also sealed in opportunities.
The sealed in opportunities, I might need to go to the member center to open that up, because off the top of my head, I'm not sure what is meant by that. It's sealed in opportunities.
Yeah, there's have you included takeaway opportunities? That I'm clear on. But then it also says, have you included sealed in opportunities? And I can ask Joanna in the Facebook group.
Yeah, 100% ask, because it's not totally clear, but you know, in so definitely please ask her, because I'm sure it'll also be helpful to others. But in general, it's like that section must be about integration. And so did you do something to help them embody what they learned, to kind of like bring it in and seal in the learning? So takeaways is one way to do that. But maybe it's like having them journal first. Maybe it's making some sort of commitment to themselves. Like to, you know, from based on what came through the curriculum to then move forward.
Now it's coming. Now I have context for when that was covered, so I can go back to that section. Thank you.
Right on. Yes. And then the timing is because most of us tend to, you know, tend to like stuff and want to do so much because we're so, you know, excited about our content. So that is really like as straightforward as it seems, like to actually think through how long it would take to implement it. And also, you know, how much time do you want for shares?
Yes, I remember now. Joanna was talking about how, you know, we know our material. And so we may go faster because we assume everybody knows what we know and that we have to slow things down.
Exactly. I was just looking at some notes. So definitely like slow things down. And also like the less is more, because then we can really, you know, there's less time to absorb and things kind of stay at the mental level if we're just sharing information. And so the timing is important because for us to try to give ourselves the gift of actually of slowing down, even when we're thinking it through, you know, even like the pace of our voice, the fact that people will want to share, to have some sort, and that we want people to share, and that's part of the integration and learning. So to really actually like think through how long something will take. And practice it.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Of course, you're welcome. And I still think it would be great if you pose the question about sealing in opportunities, if you're up for that.
I will do that. Thank you so much, Imbal. Those Thank were you. The missing pieces that now that I have clarity, I feel like I can go deeper with my curriculum.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Joni?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a quick question.
Please.
So I'm giving this, it's a very short talk and I'm having a lot of trouble with it because it's on a subject matter that I feel is really out of my expertise, but I was invited in to do it and it's something I would like to do. So there's two parts here. So the first part is, so these aren't normally this isn't necessarily my community of participants. It's at a school, my child's school. So there's that added weirdness of their peers as well as I'm giving this talk. So the part that I have a question with is, where in this very short, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour talk, do I bring in resistance? That's one of the things I'm really kind of having trouble wrapping in my mind around. I know it's very simple, but like, I'm not really sure how to frame it to this group who I don't know. I don't know where their resistances will be. So I just need some language about how I can kind of tuck it in there without, I think, not spending too much time on it because I don't know. There's not a lot of time, But anyway, so I don't know how to speak to that. And I feel that it's important because I think there will be resistance, of course. So I don't know. I just need some advice.
Yeah, sure. So this is the talk about like teens and social media.
Yes. Or just kids. This is actually elementary school. So it's, I'm assuming for the most part, preparing parents who aren't yet there, or maybe they're just getting there with their fourth and fifth graders. So yes, it is about social media.
Okay, great. So I think what's your, you know, all of us at this point, I don't have kids, right? But I'm aware of, you know, of potential negative impacts, let's say with, you know, with kids and social media. So, you know, so everyone has some sense of that. So what do you think people would be, what do you think would make people tune out? What do you think would make people potentially like disengage, roll their eyes?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is that I'm not there as an expert on social media. So I'm not going to be talking about all the apps and the technology that is available to monitor your children. I know a little bit about that, but not very much to be able to give a talk about all the things that a parent can do externally to control social media. So my concern is that when I start to talk about things like communication and boundary setting and following their intuition, you know, those are sort of the three big subjects that I'm gonna really dive into. And I'll be sprinkling in some more practical things too. Mm-hmm. My concern is that they're gonna start to tune out because they're there for just like, give me the five things I need to do to block it. And that's not what I'm offering. So that is my main concern.
Okay, so there's, right. So there's, great. So there's a couple of things I'm hearing. Can I just speak like straightforward?
Totally.
So this thing around like that you don't have expertise, I think is not like part of your resistance, but is part of like, you know, like, I don't even say lack of confidence, but I feel like it might be getting in your way because actually like you are speaking about things that you're an expert in, which is communication, boundaries, and trusting your intuition as a parent. Mm-hmm. So in a way it's like, you know, there's a relationship between your like kind of like insecurities, I'm just using that word loosely, and what you think will make them tune out.
Yes.
so what if like, you know, because I think you were asked as a parenting expert,
yeah,
to speak about things that you do have great expertise in.
Yes.
So part of speaking to the resistance is making it clear to the parents, you know, why these things are important. Like they can Google, right, you know, top five apps to limit your kids' social media use.
That's right.
So, you know, like Joanna says, an ounce of preframing is worth a pound of reframing. So in the beginning, you can ask them, so first of all, I think that this should be included, like some of this language should be included like in advance.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, so you can just speak to this, like, look, if, you know, if you're here to learn the top five apps, you know, like or just like the five things to do, I will definitely let you know that, but we're actually here to go deeper and look at the skills and the ways of being in your family and in parenting approaches around social media that are going to be much more helpful to you in the long run than, you know, like a kind of like an operational piece that may shift in 2 years.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
So it's basically, so it's like you want it. That's part of like, so you say like, if you, you know, if you just want that, like you'll get that, but it's going to be couched or presented within these broader skills really that are timeless.
Right.
So that's part of like helping to build the investment.
Yes.
And that you're talking about like that, you know, supporting our kids these days isn't just about like you know, how do we block them? But it's, you know, it's part of like a larger thing, because dealing with kids in social media isn't just about limiting their access.
That's right.
It's about seeing the negative impact of it on them. It's about like, right, seeing like how it's influencing them and adjusting based on that. It's looking at your kid in particular, because it may be different from another kid.
Exactly. Thank you. That's right. So I feel like that's what I've written down as part of my approach. And I feel like, thank you for addressing, you know, I think insecurity is the right word for me around social media, because I'm just, that it's out of my comfort zone. So I think it is, I feel nervous about it in a way that I wouldn't be, but thank you for bringing back to what I'm actually there to do, which is not to talk about the technology, because I wouldn't talk about it anyway. That's not really the impetus of the talk. It's really about these other things where I do feel is my expertise and where I feel confident. And it just, I think I'm just worried that that's what they're expecting, but of course it's going to be written in the invitation, right? When it goes out to the parents, that this is, I'll find the language to sort of give them cues about what it is about, what the talk is about.
And that it's really like, I mean, in a way, like you're teaching skills that are applicable to supporting kids around social media, but really in all other aspects of their lives as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I do feel that these are the foundational things that must come before putting on any kind of controls, if that's what they decide to do. Those are band-aid solutions, and the foundation of communication and boundary setting and following what feels right to you are really the things that are ultimately, you know, what's going to help them navigate this very tumultuous wave of social media.
Yeah. So you want to pre-frame in the invitation, and also, you know, and also you can say like, if you're here for, you know, I think you can really like call people in, like, you know, say it's like in our attention economy,
right?
Which also is what our kids are dealing with. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, we want to know, like, you know, the things, and I'd love for you to open your mind, because we're actually going to go deeper than that. And, you know, so to really like call it in, like, these are the like, you know, give me the blast, or the, you know, the same things that like trap our kids into like instant gratification and whatever, that's actually not going to be it, because it's not healthy, and that's not how things work.
Right. Absolutely. That's right. That's right. And that itself will be calling out the resistance that parents might be coming with, or expectations when I start to talk about things in a more deeper way. Right. Even if they know what they're coming for, it might be, I'm sure, uncomfortable for some of them. Okay. That's really, really helpful. Thank you.
Awesome. And I think like one more thing that's coming to me is that, you know, when we say boundaries and, you know, communication, you can say like, look, you know, most of you who are here have probably, you know, read a couple books, know that these things are important. And so, you know, if you're willing, I invite you to open your minds, to look at things possibly in a different way. Yeah.
I'm writing that down.
You know, because I think it's like people can hear, and it's like kind of, you know, I know all of this. It's in the evening, probably after a day of work or being with the kids. Yeah. And so just naming that, like, we're all tired. It's been a really tough 2 years. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've explored boundaries in a way we might not have with right. ourselves, with whatever. And so, like, you know, that even if it's all familiar, it'll still, you know, your aim is that it will bring them like deeper.
Yes. Thank you. That's great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You're very welcome. All right, Tracy.
Hey, I'm not ready yet.
All right.
I'll go next after the next person. Thanks.
Okay. So welcome, Cindy and Molly. And Tracy, I am here and available to brainstorm and answer any questions, look at documents. Just let me know what you need. And we are here until our first chunk ends at 50 past the hour. Yes, Cindy.
So I finally got started. It's been so busy, but I'm planning a workshop for energy practitioners next June in person. And we are going to be meditating with horses. It's on a retreat place where there are four horses. And we're also going to be doing crystals and how to use crystals when you're doing energy healing. And doing some visioning. And I'm just wondering if I'm trying to do too much, like we're going to do it over 2 days and we're going to go from like 10 till 5:30. I've got the structure. I've started typing it into Google Docs. So I just need some encouragement for the next step that I can share with you on Google Docs so you can give me more information. But the general concept is to an in-person workshop for 20 people where they'd have time meditating with the horses, and then they would come inside. We'd learn about crystals and do a treatment on each other on table. And these are all practitioners. These are people mm-hmm. that are doing. And then kind of vision from that, what the next step they want for their business and how they could incorporate what they're learning in this workshop into their practice.
So what kind of, are you like, is this set up as a supporting energy practitioners in their business? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I've trained them before. So I'd be going after people that I've trained before, and we were at this location in 2019. So we just did a really basic, circle around the horses, but now they're going to go deeper with actually meditating with the horses, walking around them as they're in this like a corral, is that what you call it, like outside, and so they're going to have that experience, and then they're going to come inside and we're going to talk about learning about how to use crystals with energy healing.
So I think my question is, It seems to me that meditating with the horses and how to use meditating with the horses could be an experiential exercise.
Yes, it is.
You know, where it's like where you're tying in or it could be part of like helping them ground to the space and the land. Mm-hmm. I see the how to use crystals as like a learning piece. Mm-hmm. More of like a how-to, and then they'll get to practice that with each other.
Yes.
So I don't see them. So it looks like that how to use crystals is part of like what you would teach, and the meditating would be part of creating the container or the self-care part of it. Unless like there's, you're also kind of teaching people how to work with horses.
No.
So
as I'm listening to you, I wonder if it's better to do the meditating with the horses at the end of the day, because we can do it either at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, because when I'm saying it to you, it doesn't sound like I've got a good bridge between, okay, you've just meditated with the horses, now we're coming in and doing something totally different, which is crystals.
Yeah, so the meditating with the horses could be, it could be really sweet at the end of the day and as a way of like integrating, integrating like what they've learned, you know, like horses are so like kind of calming and reassuring. And so it sounds like it's like a benefit of being in this particular retreat space.
Yes.
Yeah. But not directly related to the curriculum you're teaching.
Right. Yes.
So going back, so are there any other skills that you want to teach, or is it mainly how to use crystals in treatment?
Visioning for their business to go forward mm-hmm. Is another one. And they like to just learn new things and to like deepen, you know, taking this course, I want to make it kind of blend more rather than here's a bunch of new things. It's how do you go deeper with your clients using meditation, using crystals, using just quiet time, you know, and creating space there that they would actually have quiet time.
Right. So it could be, I love that. It reminds me of kind of like advanced depth, you know, versus sacred depths, that it's much more like this is how, this is how we go deep. And it's like going like deeper rather than like, let me like grasp all these additional tools.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Right. So then the meditation, that's beautiful because it'll be a way that it's like you're modeling, taking people deeper by offering opportunities for meditation.
Yes. Yes. So when they're going to use the crystals, they're doing something called the spiral. So they're going to start from the heart and go to the solar plexus, to the throat, to the sacral, you know, all the way around the whole body. And then they would go out to the horses if I put the horses at the end of the day. So yeah, I've taught them something practical. Here's what rose quartz means, you know, and you can place that on your heart. And then it energizes the body, but you've opened each other's energy field in your body to be more heart-centered. And then you're going out to these horses that have huge energy fields and are heart-centered, and you can't lie in front of horses. They see your truth. They see who you are.
Right. So part of, I think that, so it's tools to go deeper, you know, and kind of like using what they already have and, you know, really modeling the like less is more.
Yes.
So I think then the next thing is how do you want to bring in the visioning, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, in the beginning, and then like at the end, it'll be maybe like encircling back to it at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it like, and so in your marketing materials, to make a clear connection, how, you know, going deeper, you know, if that's part of their vision, to make that connection between going deeper and creating the next step for their business. Nothing in particular is coming to me, but you want to include, so that's kind of like the, I don't know if these words will like resonate for you, but there's like the technical piece that you'll be teaching them about quiet, the crystals, meditation. Mm-hmm. And then there's like kind of like the operational piece of how does this apply to their business?
Yeah.
So you'll have to bring both in somehow in the beginning and kind of like intertwined over the couple of days.
Yeah. So really set that container in the morning. Maybe even have them do a meditation that's a visioning. Then they go into learning something that will take them deeper, that, and then come back to that after we've worked with the horses.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, after you can also build in, you said it was 2 days?
2 days. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you can build in, you know, throughout the 2 days, you know, time for them to reflect, like, what is this showing you about your business? Is there anything that you'd like to change or, you know, commit to doing moving forward? Mm-hmm. You know, so they're thinking about their business at the same time as they're learning these skills, because that's also a way to help them integrate.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, I just learned this new thing. What are my action steps related to it? Do I start like a morning practice for myself with it? Do I add this to my website? Do I?
Yeah. Those are great ideas too. I hadn't even thought about that. Like to add to their website, morning practice, just making the questions deeper. which, because I was trying to prepare more content, but actually I need questions that take them deeper. That's going to generate discussion, right?
Right. And part of like what we're seeing, I don't know if you heard the conversation with Joni, is that it's like, you know, that it's like often it's that it's like, you know, you actually them, you want to model taking them deeper versus just like content.
Yes.
And the integration that we all underestimate because we're excited about our stuff.
Yeah.
And we want to like fit in so much. Mm-hmm. All right. Does that feel good for now?
Yeah, that feels great because I can, and I'll work away on that. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. All right, Tracy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, good morning.
Okay, so last week or the last curriculum Get It Done session with you was amazing, by the way. Thank you.
I'm so glad.
And so I've talked to Joanna and then another participant made notes on my post in the Facebook group. And so right now, I think I showed it to you before. If I can show it to you right now, I can share my screen or I can give you the link, whatever is easier for my curriculum.
Yeah, I think maybe share the link.
Yeah, no problem. Here, I'll share my link right here. So originally my plan was this was a 90-day program, but after talking to a couple people, it seems like it's a little overwhelming. It's way too much stuff people cannot do in 90 days. So they'll feel behind. And there's a lot of resistance that will come up anyway for this content, not even counting that it's fast. So what I'm wondering is maybe I can make this a really, maybe a luxurious container where people feel expansive, where it's about claiming their expertise and their, you know, going through the positioning blueprint versus like actually having to go and do marketing. Maybe this is kind of more of like an incubator where they can feel into what's, you know, what's holding them back, their resistance. And then the marketing actual step-by-step part would be in a completely different program. And then it could be, you know, a 6-week program. And then once they have their messaging, they've claimed their expertise, they have their positioning, right? Then they could go into the next program where they learn how to actually market it. What do you think?
I mean, so it sounds like that, I mean, to me, that sounds great. I like this idea of an incubator. And so basically it's like you're taking, there's kind of like, that's more like the internal pieces.
Yes.
One program.
Yes.
And it seems like that would be if people like get value and are your ideal clients, then it would mm-hmm. be an easy like sell or shift mm-hmm. to like, okay, like now let's do the external and bring it out into the world.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, there's different options here because you could also make it into a longer program.
Yeah.
That includes all of the things. So it's really, it's the format is up to you. So do you have a sense of, for your ideal client or for you, like what's most exciting or accessible?
Well, I feel like maybe another idea I had was that it could be longer. So it could have videos with worksheets and then we'd have a weekly Q&A call and then people can just access it. Like they would pay one time. I mean, they could do a payment plan, but it would be almost kind of like forever access just because it takes a while to implement the things. Mm-hmm. So if I only did 6 months, someone might need more time, right? So that was also another thought.
So if you do... Yeah, I feel like that's kind of like, it's not different from anything that you said. That's more about like format and that you'd want to share content that's, so are you saying that even in a longer format, people might still need to go back to the materials?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yes. But then I could put all the material in one place. Let's say it's like a 6 month or a year long program, but that people would just pay. It wouldn't like stop and start, right? So then it's like, okay, you're out of the program now. It would just be, they would always have access to it.
Yes. Well, I think, Yes, for sure. And that's like great. Like that's one of the things that's awesome about Sacred Depths is that if you want to go back to something, mm-hmm. you can. It's like, you know, lifetime access. But I think that like if you want to keep all of the topics, mm-hmm. you know, all of like the 12 week topics, mm-hmm. then, you know, it sounds like you want to be teaching on each of them. Mm-hmm. So right now, was it supposed to be like every week there's something new?
Yes. And it's too much.
Yeah.
It's way too much.
So, I mean, I wonder if it's like, you know, either you can like just put a week of integration in.
Okay.
So then it's like, you're just doubling the program.
Okay. So then it would be 6 months. Yeah.
Right. So then it's like you teach 1 week, yeah. then you have a week of, you know, of like Q&A mm-hmm. or just a week of action.
Okay.
And then if you have like a Facebook group or whatever, where people can ask questions, you know, it's okay if you don't, but just there's like an implementation or action week. And then you teach on week 3 and then week 4 is implementation and action. Mm-hmm. So then people like, cause I mean, I think it's important that there is, you know, learning while they're doing mm-hmm. like, or learning by doing and implementing mm-hmm. the information. You may even want to, there may be also be topics where you want to give them 2 weeks to implement.
Okay. Okay. So then you're thinking that it would be better to have kind of like Sacred Depths. It has a start date and an end date versus being evergreen that people can always enroll into.
You know, I think it depends because I mean, so I'm someone who like, I like to learn directly. Mm-hmm. So I think it also depends on your ideal audience. Like I can buy a 1 year program or a 6 month program. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't learn it. I wouldn't actually do it mm-hmm. because I like to like be able to ask questions. I like to, you know, to go to things live.
Right. But it would be evergreen, but there would be the weekly calls.
Right. So yeah. So I think maybe it's that we're like getting stuck to me. Evergreen yeah. is like, you know, that like people can join whenever and it can always like then be used without that there isn't like live teaching.
Oh no, sorry. So I'm using the word evergreen to mean that I'm consistently enrolling people into a container, but that there's always the weekly call. There's live calls, but it's just evergreen because it's consistently being enrolled into that. There's no start, no launch date, no close date.
Right.
I'm having a hard time deciding between them.
So then that seems like, I think that would depend on your topics. Cause let's say, you know, you're in week 12 mm-hmm. Or let's say you're in week 10 proposals that win. Mm-hmm. That's where you're teaching. That's mm-hmm. the topic that you're teaching that week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I join mm-hmm. and I haven't had the value of, you know, of learning about direct outreach and right. high converting conversation. So would the week 10 content still make sense to me?
No, but you'd start the video on week 1, even if you, and you would just come to the Q&A call.
Okay. So are you saying that the Q&A calls are live, but yes. the teaching calls are videos?
Correct.
Okay.
It could be, I haven't done it yet. So it could be live, like Sacred Depths, where they're taught in order and you have to join on day 1 and you're done in day whatever. Or it could be evergreen, meaning that people could enroll at any time and then they would start the video at week 1.
Right.
Having a hard time deciding.
Yeah. So what's your sense of what is best for your ideal client or like, you know, how would you like to learn?
Well, I love being in person. Like I like to be with people. So I want to have a live aspect to it. My concern was more about the marketing piece because I'm not good at like launching or anything. I don't have like a big list. And so if I go and do a speaking gig, maybe I get one or two new clients versus like needing 30 or 40 people to be there for the first day, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be, you know, this is interesting. I'll just share, and you might want to ask, like, you know, Joanna about this. I know that like 4 years, the first Sacred Depths cohort was in 2017. And, you know, and that filled basically like with current clients. And, you know, and since then she's always been told to make it evergreen, mm-hmm. but she felt that it would compromise the quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if, you know, if part of like launching this new program is, you know, and this just might not be like fast enough or bring you to your income goals or whatever, but, you know, for to do it 1 year as like the first time through in the way that you'd like to teach it, which is like, you know, teaching live, then a week of integration, then, and then, you know, and even use those videos.
Yep.
So then, you know, like in the second year, you can add an intro to each video if you want to make it evergreen. So it is more of a time investment, but it's, you know, it's really personal. Like if you want to make videos to start, then like that's, you know, but it may give you like more familiar with the content to work out any kinks. And, but that means that you'd have to also plan you know, more time and more effort for the launch.
Yeah.
So you do get a good number in.
Yeah. I love that idea. That's a beautiful idea. That feels really expansive. Cause even if it's 10 people for a whole year, I mean, that would be really lovely.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, I'm curious if I maybe even like halfway through, if there's like other people, I don't know if like it would make sense to then send them the video and see how it does as kind of like an experiment, but you know, I think we get into like, there's no right or wrong here. It's like what works best for you and what works best for your ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, so that's like one aspect of this decision. The other decision is, you know, do you keep the kind of 12-week content? You know, it could even be like 1 month per year. Or sorry, like one topic per month, but that would probably be too much. Because then there's like December where it's like only like half the month, a lot of people. So that wouldn't be a great week, a great month for the last topic.
Mm-hmm.
But so maybe it's like for you about thinking like, you know, do you want to do 2 weeks per topic, like learning or teaching and then implementation, or maybe even longer for some of the topics?
Okay. I love it. Yeah. This is wonderful. Thank you so much for letting me talk it out.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Sure. So we have about 5 minutes until our first break. And I'm available for any questions. Hi, Ruth, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, so I think I actually asked this question a few weeks ago, but I'm still a bit like unsure about how to make this work. So I focus mainly on like one-on-one coaching. Like right now, I'm not doing like group coaching. So I'm just curious, like, how do I make this like the program as I've structured it out to work out in a one-on-one setting? And is that possible?
So what are you creating? What have you been working on?
Oh, I've been working on the layout of my program. So, So initially I was thinking that I would start up restart a group, but I think I just want to focus on like one-on-one for now. So I was just wondering, like, is there a way to also make this work in a one-on-one setting?
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on what like the this is. So, but let me make sure that I'm understanding your question that, so to use the curriculum lab content to mm-hmm. create your one-on-one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you definitely can. It might not be as straightforward. Yeah. So for example, you know, so how long are your current coaching programs?
They're 90 days.
Okay. So you have an idea of kind of like your ideal client and where she's starting.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you know, where you'd like her to be in the 90 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you can see like what your, you know, basically like either the topics that might come up for her, different exercises that you could use to help integrate each topic. Yeah. And it also depends if you, and then kind of lay out like that this is your unique methodology, or mm-hmm. Joanna calls it like your brilliance-based system. So like the different steps that you would take a client through, you know, to reach their goals. So for mm-hmm. example, you know, like there could be something around, I haven't looked at mine in a while, but it's like, you know, something about like, for me, one of the main things I would teach on is boundaries.
Mm.
You know, about getting clear on needs, on, you know, on like having more of like, kind of like giving, not over giving or overdoing.
Yeah.
So I would like, so each of those would be one of the steps in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens in a coaching program is that, so you could just look at it like from A to B, but it could be in a one-on-one coaching program that the steps that you're taking them through don't have to be in a straight line.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe like with some people, you start with visioning.
Mm-hmm.
But with other people, first you need to go through all of the muck before, and then you vision toward the end of the program. Mm. So it's kind of like you have your A and your B, your where they're starting. So that's when you're looking at your ideal client and what she's struggling with, what her gaps are. You're looking at where she'd like to be, how she'd like to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the steps in between, you're still mapping out the steps, but when you implement, the steps might be in a different order for each client.
Yeah, that's what I am noticing. It's definitely not a straight line. Yeah, because I've been basing it on what the client needs and coaching around, you know, whatever they're bringing to the call. To each call, but overall, I can see like how if I have like a like, you know, something in my head of where they are and where they need to be, then that would help to like to make sure that I am covering all the gaps.
Yes, and also like this will exactly, and also like this will. So a lot of people resist mapping this out because they think that like that would make them like indebted or, you know, or like not indebted, that like they would have to do it in this order.
Yeah.
So, and that's like not because you want the order to be responsive to where the client is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you can do is one way of kind of like, you know, taking the next step or feeding this process is to reflect on the key things that you have been helping clients with.
Yeah.
You know, what are common themes that come up, you know, exercises that you've given, homework that you've assigned, maybe different resources that you share for that particular topic. And then you could make the order of your steps in whatever order you think would be ideal or would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that's the order you have to use.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And then, so then when you're bringing in clients, you already have this like methodology to speak to them about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So this is a time for us to come back. And, you know, if you're deep in your work, that's wonderful. Please continue there. But I'm curious if anyone would like to share anything that they're seeing for themselves, anything that they'd like to celebrate, any forward progress, because it really helps us to keep going, the celebrations. Any breakthroughs or accomplishments? So Ruth, yes. So just on whatever piece of the content, wherever you are with your work. So this is also, you know, in about 2 minutes, we'll get to our last work chunk, which will be about 33, 35 minutes. So if you had like what felt like a productive, you know, that I think that word can be so fraught, a productive first 45 minutes, that's awesome. If you didn't, I'm here to chat with you if you're frustrated, if you're stuck. And also, I'll offer the encouragement that, like, and one of the reasons that we take this break is that this is a new time chunk. So are there distractions you need to turn off? What do you need to start fresh to really focus in these last 35 minutes? Whatever that is for you, but to give yourself the gift of resetting. And feel present and focused for this next time chunk. So let's come back at 1:25 Eastern. Yes. And I'm here for any questions. I'm just going to set the timer. All right. So we'll do 30 minutes and then circle back, and I'm here for any questions. Raise your hand or let me know in the chat. I see that, Rye. That's great. I'm going to go warm up my coffee. Be right back.
Hi, Inbo. Hi.
Hi.
So,
sorry about the time for today.
My God, it was like getting up before 6 a.m. Can you believe it? On a Saturday. Anyway.
That's right.
Terrible. Totally terrible. Anyway, I actually set an alarm, but I didn't hear it. And I just woke up at 5 to 6.
Oh my God, amazing.
And I don't know how I didn't hear it, but anyway. But I really appreciate you doing this and just taking the time. So I feel like I'm getting there in a lot of ways, at least mm-hmm. first couple of sections, but there's there's a couple of things coming up. One is I keep wondering if I'm doing like enough. Like I have this vision, I guess these are the main inspiration for these retreats is always there's this pagan ritual that I heard about from thousands of years ago, which is this ritual called orgia, and you basically come together and enter into ecstatic states, and it really resets all your system. And I know that I need to like weave a lot of embodiment and a lot of practices through to help people to really access that. And I guess this is part of me that like looking at these, like looking at beliefs and looking at questions and journaling, I'm like, God, am I getting off track? And then this other part of me is like, no, they probably need that like grounding as well, in terms of like we'd like to verbally process too and feel that connection too. So maybe that's just a comment, and I'm not quite sure how to work with that. Other than maybe I take myself through it.
Yeah. So what's the, is there like a question or a concern, or is it that like you're going too far away from the more embodied approach?
Yeah. How does one know when you're getting off track from your own things? I don't know. Maybe it's just a comment that I needed to speak out loud. And then I was coming up against my, like, is it enough? Like, that was my own, like, story starting to come up. Like, is this going to be, at first I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be this most amazing retreat. And then today I'm working on it and I'm like, there's this, like, old, like, enoughness coming up.
So
I guess I'm just getting, maybe as I'm getting closer to the end of doing, of, like, creating it, and then it has to come out into the world, now it's just...
Right. And I wonder if, like, you know, because like if we believe or our experience has been that, you know, our clients are, you know, are some version of us, or that there's like those, you know, kind of commonalities, then I wonder if there's anything of like, you know, is this enough that like you address in the curriculum, or like, is it like a fear of being seen, or that like maybe the experience won't be as orgasmic as you think, but maybe it's also that like you're getting more in your head, which is what keeps us away from in our sexual and life experiences, that keeps us away from our pleasure.
Totally. I'm getting into my own head trying to like I'm getting my perfectionism coming in. That's what's happening, I think.
Yeah, which is like, so, yeah, I know that part well. And going back to the first comment, it's, I wonder if like that it's, you know, maybe it's not a choice of kind of like one or the other, but that in the beginning of the program or the retreat, I think you always want to bring in the embodied pieces. But right, you're not going to start with that like ecstatic state ritual right at the beginning. That's something that you're building up toward.
So maybe I can just weave in a little bit more like meditative breaths and like taking moments and just like weave it in a bit more with every exercise. So I'm still like keeping the core of what people are there, like this embodiment is like.
Right, because like embodiment can be like, you know, breathing something in or taking like a power position, or it can be like the, you know, the ecstatic state ritual. So there's also different levels of embodiment. So I wonder if like kind of like the more intellectual or mental level and then emotional level exercises are like kind of toward the beginning as the group is getting, you know, as you're building a safe container, as the group is getting to know each other, just because that may might be an in that's more accessible for a lot of people. And they're starting with something that's more in everyone's comfort zones, but you're still bringing in some embodiment, but it's not like the top peak of embodiment exercise option.
The beginning, we're gonna like weave our way in.
And, you know, I think that it's like the, I think the mental and emotional, like they ground, they're more accessible. They're, you know, could be like a good warm up as you create like the container, as you build trust, not just with you, with one another, but also like in themselves. And so, and then you can kind of like, you know, increase or escalate.
And then the emotional, and I'm glad I just, sometimes I just need to speak things out loud a little bit. It just helps.
100%, yeah.
And then the emotional level. I mean, I really do work with emotions. I am a very like emotional riding the waves type of person, but I don't know why I was getting a little bit stuck with like, how does one bring in the emotional in different ways? And I know Joanna gave us an example of like connecting with the heart. And I was thinking, and one of my little exercises, I wrote out a little thing around just noticing where in your body there's the tension and the feeling, and just connecting in with that. But I don't know why I was sort of thinking, well, how does one bring an emotion? I mean, the only way is, I think, is that we just take a moment to feel what's actually happening right now. Like we do some talking and then we're like taking that time to notice how that stirred us up, like where and how. And
I wonder if also one of the things could be like, I like your idea, like, you know, to actually build in time to feel. And maybe also to see what's getting in the way of feeling. But that might be more intellectual.
What's getting in the way. But it could be in a non-intellectual way too, maybe, because if you can't feel, you feel like you can't feel anything. It's like the level of noticing again is like, well, what is happening then? If you can't feel, like, well, what is happening instead?
Totally. And and I think, and because it's like, you know, I could be projecting from my own experience, but, you know, I think so many of us are taught like not to feel, either that it's not, or either we've had trauma. So either we're not allowed to feel or it's not safe to feel. And so maybe even you do an exercise where, like, you know, the heart is like melting away the barriers to feeling as some sort of visualization, because, you know, or like creating a sense of like safety in the heart to allow a feeling or to build our trust in ourselves to be able to handle the feeling, or trust that like the level of feeling won't be more than we can handle.
Maybe it's practicing
feeling for people who have had trauma, where it's like, okay, what's a little bit that might feel accessible to you? It doesn't need to be the, like, you know, at like a 10 out of 10.
I mean, that's a good point, because that's a lot of the work that I'm doing, and what I will teach people is this emotional alchemy process. And I, you know, there's this real like leaning in, you know, to what you're feeling, but also trusting that you can go there, and but developing that trust with the body. like learning how to, I like that you said that. And I think that's the mental part, is that is what you just said there about like not feeling safe, like what will happen if you do. There's this like survival fear that arises as we like lean into our anger, like let ourselves feel the anger. It's like we're gonna, even if it's not rational, it's like we're gonna internally combust or something.
Totally. And I think there's I wanna move on, but I'll just say that it's like, you know, one of the intellectual things, you know, like when I used to be asked like, what are you feeling, or like, what do you feel, I would say like, I think I feel. Right. So it's like always going back to the thinking. So maybe there's something where it's like, how do they drop from here to here?
And even accessing that emotional to be able to say like, I feel angry, rather than I think I might, it's like creates a distance between.
Exactly.
Rather than owning it as well. This is useful. And then I was like, trying to work out this like trickster energy. I was like, how to bring in this.
Can I just pause you and chat with Rye and then come back?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, awesome.
Your hand here.
Hi.
Hi. All right. So let me open. I'm opening your document.
Okay. Thank you.
Ooh, beautiful.
Yeah. So I just put some highlights in that Google Doc to just get some input from you. So I have two events that I'm focusing on the curriculum for because they're connected. So the first is every year we do a New Year's visioning retreat, and it's an opportunity for people to come and tap into a vision for their life with an emphasis on the new year. Mm-hmm. And then at that event, I invite people who want to continue to spend 12 weeks with me. And that's basically called Ignite Your Whole Life with Visioning. And so the way that I have it set up now is that every people get opportunity to vision on the various aspects of their life. So health, prosperity, life's work, love, creativity, what is mine to do, soul care, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I have listed here. And I just wanted to get your input on a couple of different things.
Sure.
So my first question has to do, actually, let me look at the document too, you know, there will be people who will register automatically at, you know, as a result of the retreat. And then I also do, marketing outside of that event. And then some people will register right away from the event, and other people need time to kind of, you know, get ramped up. So I typically like to have a couple of weeks after the event to do the full marketing. And one of the things that I wanted to do this year, and I kind of did it last year, was to have the bonuses be up front. That way, if you register early, you get a chance to participate in the bonuses live.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what your, you had any input on that or?
In what way? I mean, I think that it's like, I guess one question is, might there be people who do like the New Year event, and then it's like, that's where they like, you know, they just do that. And then it sounds like there are people who will do the New Year event plus the plus the 4-month program.
Yes.
Okay. So then the bonuses, which is like the vision statement workshop and the vision map workshop, I think that the people who are going to be doing the 4-month program should have access to those bonuses.
Yeah, I should clarify, the bonuses are for the, and it's actually it's 12 weeks. So for the 12-week program. So the retreat stands alone by itself. There are no bonuses for that other than a workbook.
Okay.
And it's
so the bonuses is for the 12-week program.
Exactly.
So it's kind of an incentive. Like if you register early, then you'll be able to participate in these events.
Right. So that could be like, okay, so that's totally fine as a bonus, unless doing the vision statement and the vision map is necessary for the 12-week program.
It is. And that actually is a part of the question, because normally what I've done is I've kind of done more filler stuff. But I was wondering if I gave people the information up front, because sometimes people, it's like, just tell me how to create a vision statement. You know, just tell me how to do the vision map. They want to know, like they want the end, they say begin with the end in mind. And I thought that if I gave them, if it's going to be a bonus, if I gave them access to that initially, it's kind of like, not with the expectation that you would write your vision statement that day, but here are the elements that go into a vision statement that's really, really powering, and it can keep you inspired and keep you guided. And so I want to give you these.
Let me just pause you, because I don't know, like, I'm not sure I'm following you. Okay. So, you know, I think, so if doing a vision statement and a vision map, if that's important for the 12-week program, everyone should have access to it, not just the people who sign up early.
Yeah, everyone will have access to it. The benefit of registering early is that you actually get access to it sooner and you get to attend live.
Okay, so I think, I mean, everyone should have access to it before January 23rd. So probably 2 weeks before even, so they have access to listen and be prepared for the kickoff day on January 23rd.
Correct.
And so maybe the bonus could be that they, you know, like you were saying, that they could attend it live.
Yes. Yes. Actually what I meant. So I'm glad that you let me know that wasn't clear.
Yeah. But, so I mean, I think, you know, the way that like Joanna teaches about bonuses is that, you know, it's something that like, you know, should always be related to the content. And so, yeah, I mean, my sense is like, I wonder if there's like a different bonus, because if doing a vision statement and a vision map are like integral to doing the rest of the program, I think they should be part of the program.
Okay, that's what I did last year.
And live, because I mean, there could be someone who, you know, misses it, but like, if I miss the deadline or I need more time to decide or whatever, like I'm gonna be bummed to not do like these foundational pieces live.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's what I did last year. So I think what I'll do is go back. I'm so glad I asked you this question, and go back to what I did last year, which was the bonuses were, the first bonus was, I called it your deepest intent. And so it was an opportunity for people to get clear on their deepest intent for each one of their aspects of life. So it was kind of something that was a supplement, but if you missed it live, it wasn't going to be the end all be all. It was just another way to access the insight, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
totally. And that's the thing. It's a supplement instead of being part of like the core of it.
Right. And yeah. So I get what I'm taking away is that if I have pre-program bonuses, to have them be supplemental so people won't feel like they missed out on something if they weren't there live. Because like you said, in response to someone else, I think it was Tracy, that if something is not live, you may not attend it. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't have the same level of emphasis. And I'm kind of the same way.
Right. So it's like, so this bonus class about like, you know, the deepest intent, like, yes, it's supplemental, like that could be really great. You could also add, you know, like a bonus, like Q&A around like, releasing blocks to vision and provide, like, it's like a 1 hour where you're helping people get blocked around visioning.
That's good.
Where it's like you're helping them talk through, you know, in 60 minutes or 90 minutes, what some of their gaps are. So that's basically, like, for you at the practitioner level, like a bonus Q&A. That just that particular hour or Q&A is focused on blocks to visioning. So that could also be, you know, that could maybe be in early February, or yeah. Where maybe there's one particular area they're stuck on. So let me, just in the interest of time, let me see if you have, so I'm not just talking, if you have another question.
Yeah, I just, you know, the way that I worked this in was, you know, we've got the first session was going to be the fundamentals of, like, what visioning is. And then each mm-hmm. week we move into a different area of life. And then I built in Q&A calls for one, because this is going to happen on Sundays. And February 13th is Super Bowl weekend. So I made that a Q&A so people can attend live. They can submit their questions in advance. And then April 3rd, there's something going on that day too. So mm-hmm. If you have any input on how I set up the schedule, I'm open to that.
So, you know, this could just be, it looks really organized. Like, I like the fundamentals, and then you're going through each one. I think and I like the ceremony at the end. I think that I'm in, like, similar to what I shared, like, with, you know, with someone else, is that they're like, and maybe I'm stuck on the word harvest, but because this is so focused on visioning and not necessarily on implementation, I would just be like, you could harvest for sure. We can always be harvesting, but in a way it's like you have the vision and then you're seeding, not necessarily harvesting. So it might, like, set people up to be like, well, all I've been doing is visioning, but I haven't really had time to implement. So then what am I harvesting?
I think I understand your question. Well, the way this is set up is that this visioning process is for people who have more of an emphasis on getting clarity than actually taking action. You know, so it's not right. Like a make it happen type of thing. It's
totally.
About
so getting- then- Right. So my question is, what would they be harvesting?
Oh, they would be harvesting the insights that come from the visioning process.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. So great. It's a way to help people visit their visioning notes and pull out the core themes, pull out the next steps, pull out the insights, and then, like, okay, so, and then kind of like a blueprint, like sort of taking that and then doing sort of like a blueprinting process with the information. Because sometimes people don't realize what they've gained until they've had a chance to harvest it. So it's like gathering totally. The low-hanging fruit.
Right. So they're harvesting insights, they're harvesting clarity. And maybe, like, you add on something that's like another week, or, you know, it's okay also if you want this to be 12 weeks. But I liked what you were saying about blueprinting, where you know, they get to, like, maybe, like, it's another way of integrating, like taking the insights that they've learned and, you know, thinking about having some sort of space or container to think about how they'd apply it in their lives.
Okay. And when I said blueprint, and that just came out as a result of your question, because I was, and so I hadn't had blueprinting be part of it. So I think that I'm going to look into that.
Great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Do you feel complete for now?
I do. I know we're getting close to our time and there are other questions, and I feel complete.
Awesome. I'm so glad. Lisa, welcome. I'm so glad that you are super engaged. And yeah, I'm sorry the get it done times haven't worked, but I'm glad you're here.
I have a question, but I don't want to skip the line since I just slid in here at the
end. Yeah,
the
last go ahead. Hour. If it's quick, yeah. Yes. It's
quick.
Yeah.
It's more sort of housekeeping. I know that the deadline for, I really, really would love your and Joanna's eyes on what I've created. And I know the deadline is the 28th to submit it. Is that right? I want to confirm that. And then I want to ask, I'm fleshing out a whole year-long program.
Right.
So it's kind of big in scope. If I do a short little loom to, it's like some sort of some context setting, I think might be helpful. Is that okay? Like under 5 minutes, just to set some context. So when you look at the thing, it makes some sense or not.
I would, you can ask Joanna this in the Facebook group. I would do as much written as you can.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it's the 28th. I already had it in my mind to ask her to confirm, but I think you're right about that.
When is the 28th? Is it like,
it's a Sunday, Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah. Yep. Sunday after Thanksgiving. Okay. That'll put a little fire under my butt.
All right. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ruth, also for confirming. Great. Nina, should we go back to your last question?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah,
great. So let's see what we can get through in the next couple of minutes.
Yeah. I've never really played with bringing in archetypal energy in a particular way, and I would like to bring in this energy of the trickster into the work. And the trickster is like coyote, and the trickster is basically like hungry energy, like it wants mm-hmm. things and it wants to like stir things up, and has the permission to be sort of naughty and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just wondering about ways to like bring in that energy. I was thought about telling a story, like I could read a story that is kind of like trickster energy story, but I want to bring the trickster in to help people to like get out of their way around like all this like wrongness that we carry around being all of our nature, you know, being the good girl.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in because the question?
The question is how to bring in the trickster. How does one bring in archetype? Like how does one do that in different ways? Like other than
I think there's different ways. I think it's an amazing question. Also would be great to ask, it's more of a facilitation question. And so it would be great, less curriculum, more facilitation. So I'd love for you to ask this in the Facebook group because I think it could help people. So, you know, one of the things is like, you know, that you describe the energy, you know, like you just did, and really like, and give people space, like, you know, if they're like calling it in or, you know, from the ground to begin to like bring it in, you know, so maybe visioning it and then making arm movements or body movements that relate to it. You could also read a story, you know, or kind of like provide this definition. You could have them like, you know, imagine like their ideas of like a coyote.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe like, you know, with images, you know, with words, you know, helping them to like embody like, you know, a coyote, like that hunger.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So different ways of like embodying. Yeah. So choosing a character perhaps that I'm going to choose if it's coyote or I think Hermes is the like tricks to God, the Greek myths. Okay. And just like imagining being that character. So then when they think or talk, their mind is in a different state, I guess.
Yeah. And so you might, yeah, and you would need like a few moments for them to kind of like, you know, pretend that they're channeling it or bring it in, or, you know, ideas maybe for what to do with their bodies, you know, just so for people who it's less accessible to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm getting those ideas now. So you could even do something where they're walking around the room and just like being energy and interacting with people maybe for moments in that energy. Like, how might they say hello if they were the...
Right, totally. And some, yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Any questions? Any like final... I hope this was productive and helpful for all of you. We still have, you know, a solid 9 days, you know, with like Joanna's support on the Facebook group. You know, please like ask for whatever you need. I like that idea. To model the energy that you want to bring, embody it. Yeah, I love that, to give people permission to express it. That's awesome. Thank you, Lisa. Does anyone have any final quick questions or comments?
I just want to thank you so much, for one, for doing this on Friday, because Wednesdays is a full day for me. So I was able to fully participate. And thank you so much. You gave me perspective and insights I had not considered. So thank you for doing that. This is very helpful.
You're welcome. I'm so glad. I think, you know, for so many of us are like by ourselves. And so even just having like someone to talk things out with, it's so helpful, where it's not just us in our own minds.
Exactly. Thinking the same thing, we've always thought the same way.
So true. Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone. You are very welcome.
Thank you.
And ask for what you need in the Facebook group. It's good practice for all of us. And Joanna's totally there to support you.
Thank you so much. It was so helpful.
I'm so glad. All right. Have a wonderful weekend.
Bye.
Bye.